everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two Onc Docs.
Today's episode is focusing on everything you need to know about localized bladder cancer. We're going to talk about histology, diagnosis, staging, and treatment. Love this. So to start us off, what's the most common types of bladder cancer?
So the most common type of bladder cancer is urothelial carcinoma. There are some variants of urothelial carcinoma, including squamous differentiation, plasmacytoid differentiation, adenocarcinoma, and then there's papillary types. You can also think about small cell, which can happen, of course, in any cancer type. So knowing how to treat the specific cancers based on histology is incredibly important. So for squamous cell cancer, think about risk factors such as schistosomiasis in the Middle East. It's endemic. Chronic UTIs, chronic Foley catheter use. For those variant histologies, think of surgery upfront for the localized setting. So often cystectomy is going to be one of the preferred options. For adenocarcinoma, there's no proven chemotherapy role in the localized setting. But in the metastatic setting, you're going to lean on your colorectal regimens, such as FOLFOX.
Okay.
And then for plasmacytoid, often it will present with vague infiltrative process on imaging, and you'll have peritoneal spread often and a CDH1 association. And then for small cell, you're going to lean on the same small cell regimens as in all the other cancers. So
platinum
it's going
doublet.
To be platinum doublet, exactly. Platinum etoposide, and in some settings, chemoradiation. You also want to consider brain MRI to rule out brain mets.
Definitely. So speaking of getting brain MRIs, what's the full workup for bladder cancer?
So a patient may present with hematuria or other urinary symptoms. You're going to do a urine cytology and refer them to urology, where a cystoscopy with a biopsy will be done, which is known as a formal TURBT or transurethral resection of the bladder tumor. It's incredibly important when looking at the pathology that there is muscle on the specimen. If they ever give you a vignette where there is no muscularis on the specimen, the answer will always be re-TURBT.
I feel like we had that question at one point.
I have
that ingrained in my bladder brain.
Yes. Okay.
All right. And so what is the goal for non-muscle invasive bladder cancer?
So for non-muscle invasive bladder cancer, you want to prevent recurrence and also prevent the development of muscle invasive bladder cancer.
Absolutely. And so what are the stages for non-muscle invasive bladder cancer? We're going to hit on this non-muscle first.
Yes. So TA is non-invasive papillary, low potential to invade. Oftentimes, those patients will receive a single intravesical dose of chemotherapy, whether it's gemcitabine or mitomycin C, within 24 hours of the TURBT. TIS is in situ, and that's the precursor to invade to more advanced bladder cancer. T1 invades the subepithelial connective tissue, including the lamina propria or the muscularis mucosa. Note muscularis mucosa, not muscularis propria. And these will be staged based on intermediate risk or high risk. And the high risk are the ones that are over 3 centimeters or have carcinoma in situ, or if you have multiple lesions in the bladder. So those high risk patients need BCG induction, which is given every once a week for 6 weeks, followed by BCG maintenance for up to 3 years at months 3, 6, 12, 18, 24, 30, and 36. You don't need to memorize that. Urology will take care of that.
Good. Love it. And so what are some options for non-muscle invasive bladder cancer who are not responsive to BCG?
So if you look at the guidelines, historically, cystectomy is the preferred option, but there are a lot more options now that are intravesical. So we have the intravesical gemcitabine pretzel device. Basically, it releases chemo in an osmotic fashion over 7 days. You basically insert this little chemo pretzel in the bladder. There's other intravesical chemos. As we mentioned, there's mitomycin C, gemcitabine. Mm-hmm. There's also gemcitabine docetaxel. There are ongoing randomized trials looking at this versus BCG. We also have novel therapies that have been approved in the last 2-3 years. So one is called nedofaragene firadenovec. It's the first adenoviral vector-based gene therapy. And then we also have, also a mouthful, nogapendaking alpha with BCG. And this is an interleukin-15 agonist. And then the only systemic option for BCG refractory non-muscle invasive is pembrolizumab. This is based on the KEYNOTE-57 trial. But now that we have a lot more intravesical options, it's not as commonly used because it is a 2-year therapy of immunotherapy.
Definitely. That's a lot with a lot of potential toxicities when you're doing systemic IO.
Yes.
So it sounds like for non-muscle invasive bladder cancer, you're thinking local control, local treatments. But what's the treatment for muscle invasive bladder cancer?
So with all of muscle invasive, you really want to maximize the chance of cure and prevent metastatic disease.
Definitely. And how do we stage muscle invasive bladder?
So when I explain it to patients, I say, think of your bladder like a balloon. And so there are multiple layers, and the middle layer is the muscle. And so T2 invades the muscularis propria, the muscle. Beyond that, T3, perivesical tissue, and then T4 is adjacent structures around the bladder. And so we are going to talk about old and new paradigms because the boards can definitely lag as far as treatment. Yes,
definitely. I remember the muscularis propria being muscle invasive because it's the proper muscle.
Yes.
So muscularis propria, proper muscle. There's your little tidbit if you don't do this daily like Corinne. And so let's go back in the time of history. What are our old prior chemo regimens that we talk about?
So it used to be cisplatin-based chemotherapy in the neoadjuvant setting. So we used to ask ourselves, what is cisplatin eligibility? We still do. And so the guidelines have not changed for cisplatin eligible. We still think of cis eligibility. And so GemCis is the preferred, along with Docense MVAC. And then we're going to talk about the more novel immunotherapy-based regimen. So as far as cisplatin eligibility criteria, you want to think about performance status, creatinine clearance, neuropathy, hearing loss, and then heart failure. And then there was no carboplatin in any of the neoadjuvant settings. So eliminate that as an answer. And then Docense MVAC also has anthracycline in addition to methotrexate, vinblastine, and cisplatin. And so that's given every 2 weeks and you need G-CSF support. So it's a shorter course of neoadjuvant therapy. And then historically, if someone didn't get neoadjuvant therapy for whatever reason, you could give adjuvant cisplatin-based chemotherapy. But really, neoadjuvant is preferred, the gold standard for cisplatin-eligible. And there is a delayed ability to get adjuvant given the morbid surgery of a cystectomy. And so absolutely think of neoadjuvant really for all patients at this point.
Definitely. And so you hit on a lot of pearls. The cisplatin is the platinum of choice. It's not carboplatin. Needing to know eligibility is so important. The ringing in the ears. So the tinnitus, I think they used to say you need like a hearing test baseline to kind of rule out that things are good. So just keep aware of those. And then talk to us about updates for immunotherapy in the neoadjuvant setting for muscle invasive bladder cancer. I think this is where things are breaking waves.
Yes. So in 2024, we heard about the Niagara trial. And so this is for cisplatin eligible patients with muscle invasive bladder cancer. And basically, they added durvalumab to the GemCis backbone. And so it did show a meaningful EFS and OS compared to chemotherapy alone, with a 10% higher pathologic complete response rate, a manageable safety profile, and no impact on surgical feasibility as far as cystectomy. So really, if you look at guidelines in current day, the category one for cis eligible is GemCis durvalumab, neoadjuvant, and then you get durvalumab in the adjuvant portion as well.
Yeah, chemo IO, more IO. Yeah. Love it. And we can't not talk about bladder every chance we get and talk about EV Pembro.
Yes.
So talk about hot off the press update for EV and cis eligible as of 2026. So may not be on boards,
yes,
but could be on boards in the future.
Yes. So it's not on boards yet. It's not approved yet, but people are talking about it. Some people are extrapolating and potentially using it for patients. So this is the KEYNOTE B15 trial where you have neoadjuvant EV Pembro in muscle invasive bladder cancer eligible for cisplatin. And here patients get 4 cycles of EV Pembro, then cystectomy, then they get 13 cycles of Pembro and 5 cycles of EV in the adjuvant setting. And it had a meaningful event-free survival, overall survival, PAPT CR of 55.8 versus 32.5. And, you know, there are a lot of side effects, and we're going to talk about the side effects for EV Pembro, but about a quarter stopped the neoadjuvant treatment due to side effects, and about 28% stopped the adjuvant due to side effects. And so we did talk about this in more detail in a specific episode, but we're going to cover EV toxicity in the metastatic episode that we're going to do next week.
That's where it's prime time. So we talked a lot about cisplatin, the eligibility, the regimens with cisplatin in them. What if someone's ineligible for cisplatin? What do we do then?
So historically, we gave nothing in the neoadjuvant setting. And patients went for upfront cystectomy, and then you could consider adjuvant immunotherapy. Mm-hmm. So nivolumab is approved based on CheckMate 274 and pembrolizumab based on the Ambassador trial. But as of this past fall, 2025, we have EV Pembro now based on the EV-303 trial for cisplatin ineligible patients. And so here patients had an EFS that was 0.4, OS of 0.5. Again, met all of its endpoints, path CR difference of 57% versus 8.6%. Patients in the control arm did not get any perioperative therapy. So that's one thing to note here. I think about 20% got adjuvant immunotherapy, but in general, we're adding neoadjuvant treatment versus no neoadjuvant treatment. And so this is really exciting that we finally have a new adjuvant regimen for cisplatin ineligible. It is approved. It is in guidelines.
Love. So I guess in the next few years, if you're stumped on a bladder question, whether it's your IT or your boards, guess EV Pembro?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it kind of it's almost every category.
It's there. It might not be in the boards this year or next year, but in the future, absolutely.
Okay, love it. And so lastly, what about the option for trimodal therapy or chemoradiation for the muscle-invasive bladder cancer patients?
Yes, so appropriate patient selection is incredibly important for chemoradiation, and many patients don't want to go through cystectomy for a variety of reasons. And so patients that are good candidates for trimodal therapy, also known as chemoradiation, have a complete TURBT. They have clinical T2 to T3A disease, so it's not extending to other structures. They don't have hydronephrosis. They do not have extensive carcinoma in situ, and the tumors are smaller, less than 5 centimeters in size. And also they have good function of bladder because we know that chemo-RT can exacerbate urinary symptoms lifelong. So the definitive chemoradiation options include 5-FU mitomycin. Mm-hmm. They include gemcitabine in single agent setting. I often use that for more elderly patients, and then also single agent cisplatin. There's also an oral capecitabine option, but it's category 2B, so I don't think you need to know that for boards. And so some of the side effects of the radiation, of course, bladder, bowel dysfunction. And the other thing is patients need lifelong cystoscopies because they're keeping their bladders.
Yeah, you got to keep taking a look into things. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So as always, Corinne, thank you so much for updating our localized bladder episode, being our GU expert. And what are our key takeaways?
So for non-urothelial histology, for localized, think of surgery up front. That will often be the route to go. Hopefully they won't test you on that because it's more rare.
Yeah.
For urothelial, you really want to think of, is it non-muscle invasive? There you're going to go with TURBT, intravesical treatments, or is it muscle invasive? The prior cisplatin eligible for muscle invasive is GemCis or Docens MVAC. Now we have GemCis Durva. And then we most recently have EV Pembro data for cisplatin eligible, but it's not approved. I don't think it'll be tested yet. For cis ineligible, we have EV Pembro. Again, it's hot off the press in the last 6 months. Who knows if it will be on boards yet? So right now, adjuvant immunotherapy is still an option for someone that doesn't receive new adjuvant immunotherapy. And then you really want to think about carefully selected patients for chemoradiation. It's a great option for some patients. And then at this time, the role of ctDNA, we didn't really talk about it. It's still exploratory. They definitely won't be testing you on this. But in clinical practice, there is some utility.
Definitely. We just had a conversation about that before we started recording.
Yeah.
All right. So as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. Good luck with studying for your boards. Always reach out to us with corrections, comments, or topics you guys want to hear on our Instagram or our Twitter.